gonna set the world on fire. That is my one mad desire. I'm a devil in disguise. Got murder in my eyes. Now I could see blood running through the streets. Now I could see blood running through the streets. Could be everybody laying dead right at my feet. Now, man who invented war sure is my friend. Oh, man who invented war sure is my friend. Don't believe that I'm sinking. Just look what a hole I'm in. Give me gunpowder, give me dynamite. Give me gunpowder, give me dynamite. Yeah, I'd wreck the city, wanna blow it up tonight. I took my Winchester down off the shelf. I took my Winchester down off the shelf. When I get through shooting, won't be nobody left.
Dressing.
This is special sauce.
Can I dip my fries in that mayonnaise? Yeah. Sometimes I take a McChicken and I put it in a Big Mac.
My name's Velocity Child, and you're eavesdropping on Fallen Woman at Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with a really fun crew. We're going to start with Bala. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm happy.
I'm happy to meet you, and I'm very excited to have you here.
Well, great.
Hello, Greg Holt.
Hi, darling.
Greg the Fiddler Holt.
That's me.
Yes. And Face Boy.
Sorry.
I know. The struggle is real.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. Right, Paige?
Hey.
Miss Reverend Mother Flash.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
Happy to be here.
Very happy to have you here. And we were just talking about the super moon.
Super duper moon.
Super duper moon. Face Boy, tell me a little bit about this super moon.
Well, it only happens like every, I think, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon is going to be so super duper close to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to appear extremely bright and extremely large. And, of course, it's going to have effects on the tides. And it's going to have effects on people because, you know, lunatic comes from lunar.
Oh,
and
yes.
More people go crazy during a full moon than other times during the year. And I think people are going to go really super duper crazy because the combination of this being a super duper moon and the fucked up shit going on.
I totally saw you going there.
Yep.
I'm wondering what it's going to do to Donald Trump's hair.
If it was a football, I'd kick it.
And that brings me to a quick question I'd like to ask everybody regarding this supermoon. So you've always heard wishing on a star. I always like to do a big prayer to a big full moon. Reverend Mother Flash, if you could make one wish on the super duper moon, what would that be?
I would wish for, some kind of commonality. Like, if everybody could just get out of their own reality and have a different one for one day, that would be my wish.
I see. So you mean, like, walk a mile in another man's shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If everyone could just do that.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Face?
Well, first, I would wish for more wishes.
Because we know that shit. We know that shit. The way I learned that in first grade.
Yes. That's like first grade shit.
Step one. That's
right. Yeah.
And then, as each of my wishes fucking backfire...
Uh-huh.
Which we also learned, I'd wish for no wishes.
Ah, take it all back.
Yeah, take it all, because we've also learned that. One, wish for more wishes. Two, your fucking wishes backfire. Like, oh, I want to have $1 billion. And then you're super rich. And then it turns out that everyone's up your ass. And all you're doing is dealing with people up your ass all the goddamn time.
Too many house
keys. Yeah, now I don't want that anymore. Like, everything that you wish for backfires on you. So first I'd wish for more wishes, then when all that shit fucks up on me, I'd
wish
like
for more
wishes.
You mean like $1 million and it's actually deers on your front lawn?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're shitting all over your room,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And your whole lawn is covered.
I've studied this whole wish shit. I know where I'm going with this. You're not fucking, you know, I mean, this is not coming out of my ass. Learn about this. Like, wish for invisibility. And then you think you're going to go into a bank and steal money. And then they see the fucking money floating down. It's like, you're not invisible.
Right, the
like,
money's
you're
not
invisible.
Invisible.
Yeah,
you're invisible.
It's like, damn
money.
It! I've studied all this shit.
And the legal problems with, you know...
Stealing.
No, Wonder Woman at night, you know, the normal things that all invisible men do. You know?
Right.
You know.
What's your wish, Greg?
You ever seen Superman flying over Wonder Woman?
Is that
visual?
The audience couldn't see the visual, but
yeah, describe it.
It was his hand perfectly flat, flying, and then his like
middle finger, I think it
middle
was.
Finger kind
the
of dipped down,
yeah,
grabbing her by the pussy.
Uncensored Brooklyn.
Of course. That's why we love Radio Free Brooklyn. Here's to independent radio.
Here's independent radio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shin.
I think now of all times, it's a good time to cheers to freedom and independence.
To being able to say the seven non-words that you cannot say on radio.
Yes. Bala, what would your wish be on this super duper moon?
I have everything that I need. For everybody else, well, I wish that children had enough room to dance. And would dance. I mean, millennials don't seem to dance too much anymore.
I know. What's up with that?
I don't know. Oppression. I think it's called oppression.
Right?
Yes.
I don't have a funny wish or a clever one. But I would wish that the John Lennon song Imagine came true and that there were no more countries and there were all of that. No religion, no race, no separation, no divide.
Yeah, but I like countries. I like the bark.
What?
What? I did not get that.
The
one.
Bark?
Like countries?
Oh, I see. Yes, now I get you.
Very, very
yes.
nice.
A tree of cunts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I recommend the book.
On the walk here, mm-hmm. Bala said the most incredible thing, and it made my heart smile.
Yeah.
He said, "I have the most luxurious life. I have all my needs met, and I dance. Why doesn't everyone dance?" As he danced in front of me, as we're trying to cross the road, and I had to make sure the car didn't hit him. But, you know. Yeah. No, I mean, it's an amazing thing. You said, what do you wish for? I'm thinking about it. And right now, I could wish for fame and all the kind of things that I had, you know, recently. But the thing is, actually, the progress, the work towards the fame, the work towards the... I don't want fame. I want fame from a project. I don't want to be famous like the Kardashians. I want to be famous like the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. I want to actually have a product that people go, "Oh, this is really awesome."
Right.
You know? I'd rather be a Mac than a PC. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want whatever I create. I want it to be awesome mm-hmm. enough that people give me respect back
mm-hmm.
because the product deserves it, not me. And you know. So what do I wish for at this point in my life? Does it suck to be poor? Yes, but it inspires me to work harder.
Right.
You know, and I'm not actually at the point yet.
Well, necessity is the mother of invention.
Mother of invention. Just like Frank Zappa.
Dance also has, unfortunately, been a threat to the status quo.
It's so true. That's so true.
In 1929, I believe it was, the cabaret laws were enacted in New York City, which said that you had to have a license to allow people to dance in an establishment.
And they're still on the books.
And they are still on the books.
It's shocking.
And it wasn't until the Giuliani administration that they were enforced in our lifetime.
Yes.
And they were literally dance police coming out and saying, "Hey, you can't do this." When there were 100 more people dancing in the bar. Yeah,
Patrick Swayze, all over again.
And it's actually right in this very room that the resistance grew. The Dance Liberation Front, which was something that I helped found, and Velocity was very much a strong part of.
I participated in the very first time.
No, I'm not kidding you at
all. No, wait, I got to say something. I was at a gig, must have been about 1999 or 2000.
Oh, that would have been around the time.
And the people were dancing. And I guess Giuliani must have been mayor then, right? I can't remember the years.
Unfortunately.
And the bouncers would literally walk up to my crowd and say, "No, you," and they would push them down into their chairs.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
And I stopped the show and I said, "You know, what the fuck's going on?" And then someone came up to me, pulled me off the stage, gave me like a 1 minute lecture on what was going on. And I accepted what they were saying as if someone says something to you in a dream and you're like, "Oh, okay, I guess, you know, let's go on to Wonderland." This is complete altered reality.
Yeah.
This does not exist outside of, you know.
But our protests were fun. We surrounded City Hall.
Yes.
And did the hokey pokey.
Yes, nice. I remember that.
Nice.
Was it the first one, the conga line?
There was a, yeah.
And that we didn't get permission for yet.
But we didn't need to.
Right.
Because, the first one was a conga line up First Avenue, and there was a shitload of police that were there to meet us.
And, I remember that.
And everyone, like, turned to me, they're like, "Okay, face boy, you can talk to cops. Why don't you talk to cops?"
Yeah, he's like, great at talking to cops. He'd be amazed. I shit myself. I can't do it. Yeah. Authority freaks me out.
So I approached them, and I told them,
"I don't talk to cops."
"Officer, or it was lieutenant or captain." I was like, "So we are protesting the cabaret laws, and our plan is to do a conga line." And it turns out that you don't need a permit if you're taking up less than 50% of the sidewalk.
Right.
This was a conga line.
Single file, folks.
Single file.
Yes.
So they said, "Oh, shit." They're like, "Oh, this will work." They wound up blocking traffic for us and leading
the conga line.
Protests. Like, whoever called us out and tried to shut us down, they got fucked over. And that started a wonderful relationship between the Dance Liberation Front and the police.
And the police department.
And what eventually happened was...
They got a kick out of it.
The city council determined that it was a law that was no longer enforceable. But, so that was a win, but it still has not been taken off the books.
When was this decision?
And it's such a racist law, too, the way it
Well, it was based on racist ideology.
Yeah.
The original laws were enacted because there were white women going up to Harlem to dance with black men, and
ooh.
And yes, woo, interracial dancing. So the cabaret laws. Thank you for bringing this up.
Yeah,
the cabaret laws were enacted to put an end to this, and the Harlem clubs were simply not granted cabaret license, effectively putting an end to interracial dancing in Harlem.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Didn't know we were going to go there.
You People
know
the, got jelly.
You know the white women, you know the why they went up there? Because we don't dance. Do you dance? We never dance. I don't know anyone of my age or anyone older or younger that dances. The only white person I know that consistently
you
dances
You got to put your pelvis in.
Sitting to my left.
That's
His name
just,
is Bala.
It's a kundalini thing.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, at my gig today in the senior center, there was a few hundred people, and the only person dancing was this guy doing meditation exercises next to me right now.
Yes.
And he was dancing full.
He's stretching.
Today.
It's
right?
Good to stretch.
Only person dancing was Bala, my friend. Thank you. You're welcome.
I can do a Charleston.
He does the Lindy.
No.
He knows how to do the Lindy.
The Lindy.
The Lindy.
Nice.
Is it the Lindy?
Yes, he knows how to do the Lindy.
Wasn't it the Lindy Hop?
Yep.
No, I don't know how to do the Lindy Hop. I know how to do the Lindy.
It is the Lindy
genre,
the Hop.
What genre
I
of music spawned the Lindy?
I think I'm too young for this.
1920s.
Okay.
Let's see.
Jazz, swing,
era. Rock and roll.
Oh, 50s.
The Lindy?
I don't know.
No?
Older. Well.
Okay.
Pre-rock and roll.
We used to just say fast tunes is what we have. We have fast tunes.
Sounds like swing.
Here's the Charleston and the Lindy.
Okay, all right.
We're talking the 20s.
We're talking like hot jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like
jazz hot.
Teenage when I did Lindy.
Yeah.
It's like 1910, 15.
I was born in 39.
Don't date him.
I'm joking. He knows. We've been friends for way too long.
Yeah, I know. You guys and I did about two decades.
Fun. I had a lot of fun over in Germany when I used to go dancing. We get into these gigantic dance office rooms and American bands coming over.
Mm-hmm.
I was going with a Greek woman and we could take over the whole dance floor.
Wow, that sounds hot and steamy.
Sounds like she did a good job taking over the dance floor.
I bet that was a sight to see.
All right, well, Greg, being the musician in the room along with Paige, yes, Greg brought up a good question. What's everyone's first favorite concert? We'll start with you, Paige.
Well, I won tickets. I was on the radio.
Fun.
I won tickets to see Nirvana. That's my first concert.
Good one.
Me and my best friend were just kind of holed up on, like, waiting for the radio to, like, go, okay, go.
Oh, I remember those days, yeah. When you had the landline.
Yeah. And we called in. I got through. I didn't even believe it. The guy was like, "Aren't you excited?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll be excited when I see the tickets."
Jaded.
Gave him nothing.
Wow.
Well, aren't you excited to be on the radio tonight, Paige Flash?
Yeah, maybe when I get my tickets.
Yeah. Oh, you would. Such a Scorpio. By the way, it is your birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And Faceboy, what was your favorite first concert?
I have not been to a lot of concerts.
Well, there had to be
first one.
First one
that I was at was, I believe, Santana.
Oh my God.
Dating myself. Whatever. But my favorite first one would have definitely been Grateful Dead.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Yep.
You are a hippie at heart.
I am a hippie at heart. Absolutely. My head has been shaved for a long time, but my hair is in my heart.
Psychically.
I shaved it off and just tucked it in there.
Did you trip balls at the concert?
No, because really? I don't like
you hadn't
tripping.
Been introduced to acid yet?
I had been.
Oh.
But I'm very cautious about where and when I trip.
Right.
And
as you
be
should be, yes.
Very comfortable with where I am and who I am around. Mm-hmm. And yes, of course, tripping at a Grateful Dead concert, duh, you're going to be safe. But in my mind, I'm like, I want to make sure I get home. It might be great to fucking
at
wake up.
At a reasonable hour.
Yeah, it might
be. So I want to curl up in the mud.
My programs.
It might have been amazing to wake up. It might have been amazing to wake up in a yurt in Vermont.
A yurt, yes.
I don't even know what that means. What
oh,
yurt?
It's like a Calming? Like a homemade house thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For lack of a better description.
But I was in college, and, you know, I kind of wanted to get back to, you know, making sure I graduate.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Instead of a yurt in Vermont.
Keeping the eye on the prize. Yeah. Yes. Greg, what was your fave for his concert?
This is really embarrassing, but...
is going to be good.
I brought up this subject and didn't actually think it through.
Oh, yes, this was your idea.
I should not have brought this up.
Mr. Fiddler Man.
Oh, God.
It so sounds so dirty when you say it.
So,
yeah.
When I was very young, I wanted to go see Elton John, and my mother said no.
Awesome.
My mother said no, so I didn't go.
Why'd she say no? Were you too young?
Yeah, I was in Orange mind. County, California, by you.
Uh-huh.
Here, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
What?
How old were you? We're the same age, almost.
Well,
yeah.
No, you and I are closer to the same age.
Oh, yeah, you guys...
Because it might have been an Elton John concert that I went to when I was 11.
Yeah.
Yes. That was it.
That was the one!
Get out.
Because Elton
shut
John,
the door.
Because Elton
yep.
John didn't
oh my
tour.
God.
No,
at the
John,
Palladium.
Yeah, yeah.
That I went to that one.
What?
Yeah.
How were you there? You were born and raised in Manhattanite. How were you there?
I was, yeah, Manhattan. I was 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
And the Palladium was in, you know, pretty much walking distance.
Oh, no, there was another Palladium in, okay, we're talking about different places. We're talking about Orange County, California.
Oh, no.
Oh, God,
yeah.
I thought for a minute you were, like, at the exact venue and concert he was desiring to go to.
No, totally
there was,
different conversation.
There was a...
totally different place.
And you know, it wasn't even called the Palladium, it was called the Palomino in L.A. That's what I was thinking of.
Totally different name.
I remember the Palomino.
But when you said Palladium, like, Palomino? Oh, great. Okay.
Well, speaking of L.A. venues...
So, this is what happened.
Oh, wait, all right. Bring
so
it. Lay it on
I,
me.
So I didn't get allowed to go into that. And then what happened was... I was kind of being pretty rebellious. My parents didn't buy me a car, which is, for anyone that doesn't live in New York City...
If you're in California, that's
if you're anywhere
like
outside
murder.
Of a city like
yeah.
New York or Chicago or maybe Boston, if you don't have a car...
It's like being grounded.
Basically, you're sitting home
yeah.
your entire teenage life.
Or you're spending hours and hours on the bus.
On
hours.
Well, there was no bus. There was no bus where I lived.
You didn't have a bus?
No.
I had a bus. I used to take the bus to Long Beach, Hollywood.
Okay.
But
stop
it would take
bragging.
Hours. It
stop
would be
bragging.
Like, it would be
right?
like half a day trip kind of thing. It was torture.
So I went to the junkyard and I found some old parts and I built a Vespa, which at the time was pretty much the coolest thing I could have done.
Yeah.
But I wasn't cool enough to know I was cool. I just wanted transportation.
Right. Means so, to an end.
So I got the scooter from 1962. Happened to be the same model and year as Sting had in Quadrophenia.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much overnight, I was
wow.
Went from total dork to like the coolest kid on in this campus.
The hottest cock on the walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I basically, my first gig that I ran away from home, snuck out of my parents' house, out of the second floor, onto a stoop on the second floor,
uh-huh.
jumped 15 feet onto grass, did a roll, full ninja roll, and got onto my scooter. And my little scooter that only went 65 miles an hour, I rode
oh.
from L.A. to Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
And saw Billy Idol.
Good
nice.
One.
Nice.
Yes.
But that wasn't my favorite concert.
No.
The second time.
Was that your first, though?
First concert.
Yeah. So Billy Idol popped your cherry.
Popped my cherry. Second concert, but it was great. I mean, you know, he was big deal at the time. And quite, quite frankly, his former band was pretty awesome. And it's, even now, his lead guitarist, you know, he's a New Yorker. He's a great guy. So anyway.
He's stretching. Ball is stretching.
Ball is having more fun.
Ball
than
is
our audience.
Working out all the kinks.
So anyway, the second gig I went to was at this little unknown club called the Golden Bear in Huntington Beach.
I remember that one.
Again, me and my buddies, you know, we'd pack up my my little Vespa with a 12-pack of beer and, you know, go to Huntington Beach, and I'm hanging out with this unknown band called the Jesus and Mary Chain, smoking cigarettes. It wasn't until years later I'm like,
remember them.
Oh, that was amazing. I'm hanging, but the thing is, they seem so old because I was 16 and they were like 19. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We are 19.
Huge.
That's fucking huge.
Dude. But honestly, as I became an adult and became a musician, the greatest concert I ever saw was the Buena Vista Social Club, when they flew them up from, when Ry Cooder flew them up from Cuba, and they were like 90-year-old guys at the Beacon playing better music than anyone my age, anytime, anywhere possible. Just killing it. Like the best musicians I'd ever seen. I paid $200 back in the 80s.
Wow, that's a lot.
A lot of money to see
Eight, the Buena Vista. That's like, what was that, like 400, 500 in the 80s? Yeah. Probably closer to five, yeah.
And the irony of that is, I just flew in from Spain. You know this, right?
Yeah.
I was playing with the Buena Vista Social Club in Granada.
Get the fuck out.
Awesome.
That's who I was playing with, because all the remaining members that are still alive have left Cuba now. They're in Spain. They're in Granada. There's like three of them. They're all 80 years old. All the rest have died. And
dude,
I was playing with them in a small club in Granada.
Awesome.
So that is ultimately my favorite connection to my life now.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't have, mine's not nearly as exciting, but it does involve the Pantages Theater.
Pantages.
Yeah, such a beautiful space, right?
Oh my God, that's like we're classy.
Opulent.
I was never that classy.
Well, I actually wasn't there to see like a super fancy thing.
That's where Les Miserables was for years.
I never identified as a goth, but there, you know, I listened to an eclectic mix of music, but I was a humongous Soft Cell and Mark Almond fan in the 80s, and he's a rare one. I had to go, remember when you had to go to the import record store to get the unusual shit?
That's where I bought,
that's how I got turned on to Mark Almond.
There was an import store in Huntington Beach, and then I think there was one in Newport Beach, right? And that's
there was one in Irvine.
In Irvine. And that's where I got Bauhaus singles. I just found it in my apartment the other day.
I got all my Mark Almond vinyl there.
I never threw it away.
Smart man. So smart. I wish I kept my vinyl. It would be so valuable. I had so much. It was ridiculous.
I have some 8-tracks.
You had 8-tracks?
I have 3.
How did you listen to them?
I
did you have an 8-track player?
I think,
we're dying over here.
I know. We sound so old right now. Any millennials listening, they're like, what the fuck are they talking about?
The most uncool people
ever. Dude, they wish it was. They wish they were that cool.
Listen, my...
they don't know shit.
It was. I have 3. I have one. It's Zeppelin. One's The Who, and one's the Rolling Stones. And I must have been 8 years old or 6 years old, and I had an 8-track. And I know my parents never had an 8-track because having an 8-track in your car was way too luxurious.
Very fancy.
It had to be something that we never had one in my house. So I must have bought an 8-track, gone to my neighbor's house, and put it into his. You having fun there?
Ball is letting loose.
Ball is balling.
I'm actually dying to know. I'm really dying to know. Bala, what was your first favorite concert ever? In your whole life, what was your first fave concert moment?
First, I'd have to say my favorite concert had Woodstock. '69.
Well, you can't beat Woodstock.
That's pretty
I'm very jealous right now. I've always fantasized that I could get into a time machine and go there. It was luxurious.
I had a pair of binoculars, and I gave them to somebody next to me, and he passed a pair of binoculars down. 30, 40, 50 people came boom, back into my hand again. No problem.
Wow.
Total communication.
Total community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, was at Woodstock.
Did you have a favorite moment at Woodstock?
I was on acid for 4 days, and I didn't sleep for 4 days and 4 nights.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the most exciting thing was when they dropped flowers out of the helicopter. And Gracie Slick, I cried. You could hear right next to the stage.
Oh, wow. What kind of flowers were they? Daisies?
I didn't catch any of them. They were coming out.
They were just everywhere.
They were real live flowers. I mean, they set up that for the filming of it.
God, that's beautiful. I never knew about the flowers.
Me either. I was there, but I don't remember. I was born at Woodstock. I'm one of the Woodstock babies.
Wow.
No, you not did. Really.
You're so full of it.
Best line ever.
I'm going to make a quick jump to Paige's topic. Why not Mexico?
Yes.
Well, first off, I'm going to preface this. So fucked up. We have a really scary president right now, president elect as of a few days. And I remember I got group threads on your cell phone. Friend of mine was freaking the fuck out. And to handle it, he started a group thread with all his friends to just have a line of communication so he could come to off his panic attack. And so everyone was throwing in their 2 cents and the whatnot. And there's a performer I love and adore. He's known as Mr. Gorgeous. And he's always highly amusing, or at least has some really fascinating thing to say. And he just threw in this thing that really surprised me. It shouldn't have surprised me, but it just nothing. I'm still wrapping my brain around it. I still can't believe that this monster's our president-elect right now. At the time, the whole thing was so surreal. He sent into the group thread. My point is that a link to prove it, a link to the website. That the Canadian immigration website had crashed.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been back up since.
No, sure.
Hey, can I give you a quick conspiracy theory that I just thought of just now?
Yeah.
I have this feeling that the whole Trump phenomenon is a
too nice a word for him.
Is a problem of our generation. I'm going to include the three of us. Because... Yeah, I stole your drink.
Give me that for a second.
Because.
Let me see that.
Yeah.
Let me see that for a second. Hello.
I know.
Because I have this theory that Donald Trump was actually one of the original members of Flock of Seagulls. I'm going with it.
Oh, wow. With the hair.
The hair.
Yeah.
That's Flock of Seagulls. That was totally our fault. That's completely our fault.
We shouldn't have let that one get through.
You know, we let them go on MTV. We gave them a little fame, a little money. What happens? They become president of the United States.
A dear friend of mine and fellow performer, Didi Delgado, all year long has been comparing him to Peppermint Patty.
Mm-hmm.
From the Peanuts.
Nice.
Because of his hair.
Kick the football.
He reminds her of Peppermint Patty.
Oh my God.
And that at this point, I think that's too much of a compliment. Peppermint Patty's rad.
I don't like Peppermint.
But Paige did bring up the question.
Yeah.
Why Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
What's wrong
Trump,
with that?
Why not Mexico?
Trump wants to keep all the Mexicans out of America. I say
right?
We should just reverse it, and we should
flip
jump
it.
The fence.
Flip the script.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You know? I think Mexico would love to have us, and we would...
Mexico's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. And the
food is amazing.
The food is great. The weather waters, is perfect. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Piquant.
Yeah.
All right.
Really?
All right.
Yeah. And no one knows what to say.
Marijuana is available and affordable.
Yes.
Again,
that's so true.
You can get cheap boob jobs.
You can get some really good plastic surgery in Mexico. I know someone got a couple of facelifts.
You can also get anything the fuck you want from a pharmacy.
I don't like those job stuff. I like to do the job.
No, you're organic, man.
No, I don't have a job. I don't even have a position.
He doesn't think the boobs should be a job like the presidency.
Right. I think Donald Trump
feels
the same way.
All right. She didn't get her last joke, but she got that joke.
I got that one.
So, next question for everybody. Why would Vagina vote for Donald Trump?
Yeah, what the hell happened with
What's up with that shit? I don't even know. I hardly have a... I have a very hard time buying that.
Stockholm Syndrome,
I don't
maybe?
Even... Stockholm Syndrome, that's good. I like that. That's
can you
like
inform the
old fogies,
what you're talking
why
about?
Why did women vote for Trump?
Oh,
it turned out...
I thought Vagina was actually the name of a performer.
Grab him by the pussy.
I thought you were talking about an actual person. You mean women in general?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, grab them by the pussy. Why would they do it?
No surprise, it was predominantly white people that voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But
I hate them.
It is.
Me too.
They're the worst. They are the worst.
I'm not saying shit.
I'm a self-loathing cracker. I swear.
You know, it's funny. I'd probably do it. You know what? We'd probably do those DNA tests, and it would be like completely flipped. You know?
No, dude. Yeah, I did my DNA test, and I was shocked to find out I'm like 90% cracker. I have no Asian, no Native American, none of that.
Okay.
I do have 10% Caribbean.
Okay, I do actually have
my
semi,
family's from the South.
Actually, I do have a semi-serious but still funny point on this. I'm just going to say it because I love things like this. I love things like this.
Uh-huh.
So a buddy of mine was head of the NAACP in New Orleans. Hmm. And he was one of the first people they started doing these people would do these TV interviews, and they would say, what's your name, what's your background, blah, and then they would take the blood and do a test, and they go, guess what, you're actually Hispanic,
blah blah blah, yeah,
you know, whatever. This black guy, head of the NAACP, not black. His father
was, he like
head of the NAACP before him,
yeah,
not black. And they're trying to figure out what happened, and what happens. It's a very, very cool story.
They
look
had
at,
like a they
you
they
look
just
at Africa.
Tan.
No, this is what happened. You look at Africa, and on the right side of Africa is a island called Madagascar.
Ah.
And there was a large group of people from India that moved to Madagascar. But when the slave traders came and took the slaves from Eastern Africa, they also took them from Madagascar and brought them because they're both dark, and they brought them over as slaves. And there's an entire group of slaves that actually aren't African or like of African descent. And so this guy found out, technically, he wasn't black.
Wow, dude.
Or his father, but he was still head of the NAACP, and people were, like, saying left, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
I totally was prepared for you to tell me he was, like, a pilgrim.
Even a pilgrim.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, no.
Oh, no.
That's
fuck
so interesting.
It's
I wonder what would happen if
holidays.
I did the DNA test.
Oh, right. Yes. Don't worry. Your secret's safe with me, face
what?
Boy.
I'm
going to
take one. I've been inspired.
I highly recommend it. I went through a website, and it's a really good one, 23andMe.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. Let's double check you.
I don't think I need to double check. Yeah, because of you.
Yeah.
You're
like
the one that roped me into that. Yeah, I didn't want to.
Nope.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to know.
And you can't do it in New York City because you can't send your fluids through the mail in New York.
I think you're allowed to now.
So
I think they lifted
velocity,
that.
Which is ironic because you can fling them at somebody.
Right.
So
you just can't mail them.
Velocity had to go to New Jersey.
Wink, wink. Yes.
As opposed to, you know, illegally having a friend take her spit to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Wink.
I've been compared to my features. People most of my life have assumed I was Asian descent on some level. And I even remember
I
when
told
I was.
You have a new roommate.
When
I just
stop
it.
When I was on the. Oh, you.
What you're hearing in the background is.
You what you bring, you take with you.
I have given up responsibility.
High five. Yes.
I've given up responsibility.
No, you haven't.
No,
nope.
My dear. You're down.
You're home what you bring.
Yeah, you are down for it. Yes.
Your responsibility. Not getting out of it.
When I was on the pole, when I was stripping, any Korean clients would
awesome.
Come in and.
I wish I had a cool phrase like that. Like when I was on the pole.
You ever heard the term "keep your baby off the pole"?
No, it's like actors.
You
want to
be a good daddy.
It's like
he's got to just keep his baby off
cool
the pole. Chris
like
Rock coined that phrase.
And,
yeah.
You know, wood and the plank. When I was hanging on the plank means when they were on the stage. Musicians are like a gig. I mean, it's not as cool. I want to come up with a cool phrase, like, you know.
Yeah.
When I was hitting the brakes, you know, something cool. I can't. There's nothing cool about being a musician.
The Korean clients would argue with me, literally argue with me, because I was like, I'm not Korean. They're like, yes, you Korean. They would insist it.
We did
like,
again.
Jesus.
That was a good accent.
Oh, stop. I used to do fun sex, so I had a medley of accents, but you Korean. They would fucking
you
insist
did fun
it.
Sex?
Oh, my God.
Can
yeah.
I tell my favorite phone
40
sex
40 hours a week for 2 years.
Can I tell you
wow,
my
that's
fa-
a lot of phone sex.
Oh, man, those dicks got deep in my brain.
Yeah.
When I was bent over in the glory hole booth, sorry, I was just trying to do my when I
But I know you've done your glory hole share.
All right, my favorite
here, we're safe.
My favorite phone sex story, I was probably 19 or 18, maybe 17, I don't know. And me and my buddies were like, hey, call this one.
Pre-internet
you know,
porn.
And one
that's
of them
had
a credit
back
card,
then.
And one of them had stole their credit card from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you kids remember before your parents just gave you everything, but back in the day, we had to steal from our parents to get
yes,
shit.
Yes, they raid
you know?
Their liquor cabinet
yeah,
or whatnot.
You know, we didn't just, weren't
yeah.
given shit, we had to actually steal it. So one of my friends had stolen,
right?
One of my friends had stolen this credit card, so we called it this Asian sex line. And the girl that answered the phone had this very strong, you know, clearly is a black lady from Brooklyn, right?
Right.
She's like, yo, baby, what's up? What do you want? We're like, we've never, you know, we don't know nothing. We're from Orange County, California. We're just like,
not.
What?
No shit.
So we said, is this, excuse me, ma'am, is this the Asian sex line? She's like, what? Yo, me fucky fucky you.
Dude, I remember I was on the graveyard shift.
Over.
I was on the graveyard shift from like midnight to 8 a.m. And it was just me and one other girl. And we had about 8 phones. And sometimes you had to like two-fist it. You had, literally, you had to, the phone would ring, you'd start a scene on the phone with one guy, and then the other phone would be like, oh shit, and you'd literally do, like, if you can't see me moving my hands in the motion of the telephone, you'd have to flip the mouthpiece up and down, and sometimes you get like a dom on one side, who's totally
and a sub on the other.
And
yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
and he's
like the angel of the
or you have to have an accent on, and then he'd, oh, it's such a head fuck.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucky fucky. Yo, baby.
Yes, exactly.
trying to keep your story together. Oh yeah, you're in my ass. Oh yeah, I'm in your ass.
Yes.
Oh yeah, in your ass.
When one of my favorite things to do when I dommed on the fun sex was to have them like get an orange and like hollow it out and then really like lubricate their cock with tons of Vaseline or whatever they had handy.
Good to have a hobby.
Right. And then I'd make them like fuck the orange. Like you know, and they it was surprisingly successful.
Hmm. I imagine so.
Over the phone.
Well, you gotta imagine the folds of the actual meat of the orange itself, the way they.
Yeah, they're not actually fucking the orange. It's all over the phone. They're like, you're saying fuck the orange.
And
like,
no, so I swear to God, yes.
They were fucking those oranges.
But I would tell them, but check it out. I would tell them to get the Vaseline and lay that shit on like cream cheese on a bagel. Like super fucking thick. So it wouldn't burn their cock. I'm even making this up.
This is totally not my fault. This is totally not my fault.
It's kind of your fault.
You're going to blame me for this for years. I know it.
She has it on.
It's okay.
Recorded.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Thank you guys for being here tonight.
We have to end this?
Well, no, we're going to go on to some solo interviews now.
Why?
Because that's the way Fallen Woman works.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like I'm going to get you one-on-one now.
I've never had this much fun on a radio interview in my life.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's a big compliment. Yeah. Thank you. Although I highly recommend participating.
Although I have to say, one time I did an interview at a big, big station in Seattle. It was like 5 million listeners. And the guy comes up to me before the gig. And says to me, he's like, this is what we want you to do, what you want to say, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. By the way, the local brewery made a beer for us and opens up a fridge and there's a keg in there.
Wow.
And that particular beer was only made for the DJs. Like, you couldn't buy it at the store.
It was a private brew.
Brew. And what it was is they had put so many expensive hops in it, it was too cost ineffective to actually sell to the market. So they made it as a promo to those guys.
Was it like a high alcohol content? Like a like triple fermented?
Oh, yeah. So this is where the story starts. So they go, hey, you want some beer? I'm like, absolutely. Boom, boom. Jeez, this is delicious. This is really delicious. Like, pretty soon I'm like Barney with eyes going either way. And they're like,
Duvel has been known to do
it's
that.
Your
time,
it's your turn to go on. It's your turn to go on the radio show. And the radio show was like, I could have been tripping. I mean, it was just absolutely, I mean, it was probably 13% alcohol. I probably had 5 of them waiting for the show to start.
Right.
And it was, you know, morning. It's 7 in the morning, so no food the night before, empty stomach, 4 beers that were like times 4.
Open liver.
Just like, and so I go in there, and they clearly know, apparently they set me up. So they knew what was going on. So they're just throwing me shit left and right, and these guys were like kind of...
While you're on the air?
Yeah, it was kind of like the zoo. It's like, hey, ding-ding-ding-ding, we got a drunk in the house.
For fuck's sake, with all the sound,
and so I'm like,
bells,
you know,
and whistles.
And I'm like, turn off the lights, motherfucker, and so what they did is they convinced me, thinking they were going to get me on this one. They said, grab your fiddle, not plug it in, just play into a microphone. And we're going to start playing songs, and we want you to play along with them on the air. And I said, sure.
No.
Of course, they didn't choose any fiddle songs. It was like, you know, The Who, Baba O'Reilly.
Okay.
So like, I was a complete captured victim, and they're like, let's torture this motherfucker. And I completely blew their minds away and became their best friends, and they came to my gig that night. I actually stepped up to the plate and nailed it. And I got like about 10,000 fans because of that gig.
I hope you had some pancakes
because of
before
beer.
That gig after all that.
Yay, beer. Why are we going to the singles? This is more fun.
Oh, well.
This guy's hilarious.
Yeah, of course he
Face
is.
Boy.
Face Boy is
my
known
job.
For it. It's his job, yeah.
He's so meek and mild, and he opens his mouth, he's like, yeah, I did this and this and this and this and this and this. And by the way, I'm in Wikipedia and this and this. I'm like, oh, crap.
He's got
chops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Heavy chops. All right, everybody, raise a glass or a can.
Okay.
Cheers. 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 Cheers, motherfuckers.
Cheers.
Here's to freedom. Hang on to it while we have it.
Exactly.
Mexico.
Mexico.
Beans.
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to continue to support independent community media, we hope you'll consider supporting us with a small monthly pledge. You may pledge as little as $1 a month. That's just $12 per year, the price of a cocktail. Wouldn't you buy us just one drink per year to keep local independent media alive and kicking? Please, go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep commercial-free independent radio alive.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And when I feel like a motherless child, I am not alone. You are not alone. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long, long way from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. A long, long way from home. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. Sometimes I feel like a bird in the sky. A long way from home. Crying. Like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. And when I feel like a motherless child, I'm free. black, I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang. Bang, bang, he shot me down.